people all around the world who wanna hurt every boy and girl, and you can never stop them, only slow them down. The only thing that makes it better is knowing Ian's friends with a chicken.
Is that a chicken?
I think so. Yeah, because he said it was a chicken, but it could have been a turkey, I don't know. An HR puffin stuff makes the pain of life less tough, and Roxy had a Mexican boob gram. She had a Mexican boob gram.
New media, the final frontier. These are the broadcasts of the Tomorrow Show. Its mission, to befriend fellow nocturnals, escapists, and dreamers. Not to mention angry loners, the socially inept, and those with Peter Pan syndrome. To boldly go where no broadcast has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. Your overnight broadcast featuring one celebrity boyfriend's midlife crisis, millennials in Star Trek costumes, and so much more. The underdog's best friend. And all you need is a smartphone or access to the internet. Here's the captain of your tomorrow, Kevin Undergaro!
Yeah! And from that sound, you know it's the Tomorrow Show Thursday night edition. So, of course, we're drinking. And why, Roxy Stryer, my little matzo ball over at the Tomorrow Show bar, why are we drinking?
Because Friday is for the men.
Friday is for the men. Tomorrow's your day. Tomorrow's your day. Do whatever you want, guys. Drink up tonight. It doesn't matter for tomorrow. By the way, look at you knowing it was Lover Boy. Right?
Yeah.
Weekend's here, guys.
Great song.
Right? I'd just like to say, I'm in the Captain Kirk tunic tonight, the green outfit, in
yes,
honor of our guest, Brandy Glanville. Right? Very nice. Thank you.
Very respectful of you, Kev.
Very respectful. In the booth, I see Lauren LaGrasso. That you have to go to her while she's drinking water.
Hello, Kevin. Just hydrating the cords. Got to stay supple.
Yes, of course. Those lovely golden pipes.
Absolutely.
Jared at 32.
What's up, Kev?
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Close to the weekend, baby.
Right. No talk of fighting me, I hope.
Not yet.
God damn it.
I'm still sizing you up.
Pantene Katie is back, and a little later we're going to have Pantene Katie. We'll be featuring her look of the week.
Ooh.
It'll be only the look of the evening because we unfortunately didn't have Pantene Katie on Monday. How are you, Pantene Katie?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm marginal. Christian Blatt.
Hello, sir.
Our esteemed executive producer. How are you?
I'm average. So, see, we add up to maybe one person, you and I.
Nice. Oh, come on.
God, this gets me fired up. Drink of choice tonight.
Uh-oh.
Some red wine.
Oh.
Here you go.
From the Tomorrow Show Vineyards.
Yes.
And, Kev, you just gave me a tip on red wine.
Yes. Hear that?
I love that
part. Yeah, Roxy was, Roxy's been, you know what, much to... I have mixed emotions.
Yeah.
Every time you get healthy, on the one hand, I'm happy for you because obviously I want to see you grow and have a healthy life. And I'm seeing it on your face. So is Maria. Your complexion, everything about you is just... Because I know you're eating cleaner and you're not abusing your body as much as you have.
I joined a fucking gym today.
So weird.
I joined a fucking gym.
Damn.
A gym? See,
what kind of gym is that?
A gym membership.
It's just so weird.
A fitness place.
I was going to, in late 20s, 30, I was going to say, okay, Roxy, we're going to put the plug in the jug. We're going to start taking shit serious. But, you know, you've been the fun friend that I, like, live vicariously through. So that's why I have mixed emotions about this, because you've always been the fun one.
Yeah, but I'm still drinking a lot, which is why I appreciate your tip, because I told you my hangovers are getting worse recently.
Well, part of that's age, and with red wine, sometimes if you have a cheaper red wine, there's a lot of sugar in that, that's going to give you a hangover. So I said, Trader Joe's has a nice, affordable red wine that is sulfite-free, some of the organic red wines. They don't last very long once you open them, but that's great. You kill that kill the bottle and be done.
More reason to drink quicker.
That's right, but give that a shot. And as I always say, to all my drunks, this is why I was such an excellent drunk back in the day. It's one of the few things I did well in my past was drink. Hydrate before bed, a couple of Excedrin migraines, Good. Not so good on the liver, but you know what? You wake up the next day, you'll wake up tired because your sleep isn't going to be deep, but you know what? You're ready to go.
I think you have to save these. Like, we have Pantene Katie's look of the week. We need Kevin Undergaro's drinking tip of the week.
Okay.
Thursday night drinking tip.
I have several.
Yeah, I know.
I have several, sadly.
As any good carny would.
Brandy Glanville tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited. A lot to talk to her about.
She is, man, she's brave. Fearless.
Yeah, she talks about everything. And you know she's a pro because she's been tweeting and Instagramming about this all day.
She could,
talking to all her fans, and, you know, giving them what they want. She's great.
It's funny. I was telling, we were talking about this off the air, but, you know, you wonder, you have to do so much to keep that going.
Yeah.
Those careers. You got to be putting coal on the fire. You constantly have to be making headlines, creating new projects.
Diversifying, as you always say.
It's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
But unlike an actor who, you know, I'm going to go and play this role. I'm done with this role, right? So, Roxy, you're going to go and, I don't know, play a character. And then you put that character away and you come back and you're normal. You know, for them, it's... for the reality stars, it's being a heightened version of themselves. And then I just wonder, and what happens is the more heightened version of themselves that they are, the more, in a sense, they're rewarded. Something like a drug, you know, but where do you, where do you shut it off?
And some of those qualities become permanent, you think?
Yeah, I've seen people become lost. By the way, I've seen it with actors too. Ellie Mae from Beverly Hillbillies. I'll never forget. She's like, no, I'm Ellie Mae Clampett now. She always had like the pigtails and the braid and was dressed like the character, even into her 70s and 80s. She's like, no, this is who I am now. So even actors can get lost in the role, but, I can't think that's healthy. What do you? You're more, you seem to be more, believe it or not, even though you like to party, you seem to be a little bit more feet on the ground.
I think it's interesting. I think that if you get known on the show for some, or any of these shows for something good, for being charitable, or like you are somebody like an Angelina Jolie who has to, not only does she want to uphold this image, but she has to. She's right. Always in the public eye for doing charity. It can push you in the right direction as well. But
Not a bad place to be lost in.
Right, not a bad place to be lost. But if you are known as the girl that throws the drink in the face all of the time, and then you start to think, okay, even when the cameras are off, it's okay to throw the drink, and then you're just that person who's out at parties throwing drinks on everybody. That seems to be like a fishy place to be to me.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'd love to get her thoughts on that. Like, you know, where are you concerned that this, your on-air persona doesn't just become who you are? Or yes, I get, she's probably going to say, well, that is who I am, but it seems like the success of that of those people is based on raise the bar, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. She's talked a lot about how she doesn't feel like who she is on TV is all of her, how it is version of her, but not the whole package, and that we're just seeing one side, and that side is amplified for television. So it'll be really interesting to get her in here today to talk about, okay, so who are you? If this is who you're showing us that you are, who are you?
Who are you? Boston speak.
Yeah.
You know, on the last show, we were talking about, you remember, we touched on mental illness and to go to the Orlando killings. And, you know, my thing was, why now? We've always had mental illness, but why so much of it, so many of these killings. And I had a great meeting today with my hypnotherapist.
Another one? This
yes,
is exciting.
Follow up with a hypnotherapist.
Kev, I feel like you usually bail on these things. This
is so good. No, I can't. This is too serious because you guys depend on me. My family depends on me. Like, I got to meet this head on. And I'm learning a ton. But she said, listen, I'm more guided meditation than I am hypnotherapy. But it was funny. At the end of our session, I said, can I ask you something? Why now? With the mental illness and the killings, and why now is it so out of control?
You asked the hypnotherapist?
Yes, because she's very
intuitive.
She fires on all cylinders. I mean, she knows enough psychology, enough psychiatry, and enough, as I said, the witch doctor stuff. And she laughed in a way I've never seen before. Like, she's 360. And so I don't know, I just threw it out there. And she had an interesting response.
What'd she say?
She said, because from the 60s on, it has been the degradation and the collapse of motherhood. She said from the 60s on, mothers went to work. Kids were either rich moms handed the kids off to nannies, and moms that, you know, maybe weren't rich, it was they were handed off to television sets, DVDs, video games, maybe older brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and what has happened is there's been a detachment because of that. And she said, now, if you add that with the diet, all the sugars, the GMOs, all the crap we all eat today, and then you add to that just the general desensitization of society, she's like, that's why you have that. And I thought that was very interesting. And so my Sam Roberts shout out for tonight is when I was thinking of my friends who have the old souls and are the healthiest, Maria is one of them, and Sam Roberts is another. But I think Sam's mom was at home. I know she was very much just into Sam. And, you know, and I always wondered, even, you know, Maria's mother, Lita, even though she worked, she just was someone who went without sleep. She still was just all about the kids. And I think of you too, Rox. You know what I mean?
I had that stay-at-home mom life.
You had a great mom. You know, you guys were hippies and you guys were definitely on your own path. But you're somebody who, like, does all this dysfunctional stuff, but you're not dysfunctional. Like, you're just having a good time, you know?
Thank you.
I mean, no, come on. It's true, you know? And I just thought that was interesting. I think there's something to that. My mom went to work when I was five.
When they look into the situations like the Orlando shooting and all those horrible incidences, do they find a correlation between people's moms or family life, upbringing?
I didn't take it any further. I just threw the general question out there, and it does make sense. It makes a lot of sense.
I think that
all the factors together.
I do think that it makes sense, but in a very general way, the better your upbringing is, the more likely you are to not turn out to be a shithead. But at the same time, I think, like you do in a lot of ways, that we make so many excuses for people. We make so many excuses and things are getting worse, but a lot of that is society. A lot of that is things are more accessible to people. You know where everybody is when they are there. You know how you can build a bomb. You know how you can get a gun. You know all this stuff is at your fingertips.
Well, again, that goes back to my theory. I'm not attacking the source of the problem. She's going to the source, which I love. And that's what a great leader needs to do, is we got to go to the source. But in the meantime, as I said, got to slow them down. That's all you can do is slow them down. It's all Israel can do is slow these people down. That's all you can do is slow them down in the best possible way. So it's not having this stuff be as accessible. It's being more militant now, unfortunately, with security. It's being more invasive. I'm sorry, you know, because...
You do think so?
Yeah, because, even last night, we're at Rita Wilson's concert last night.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful night out. And by the way, she was very Amy Mann in her singing. I was so impressed. Wow. With Rita Wilson.
Loved her ballads.
But you know what? We've got Tom Hanks there. We have, who else was there that we know? I'm blanking right now.
Well, I thought Full maybe House. Chet was there because I know you've wanted
I
to
so
run into
wanted
him.
To meet Chet Hayes. I did see Colin. I saw.
Good, you can ask him why he has me blocked still.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Would have been a great conversation.
And then who? But who? There was, what's his name from Full House? I know, he's amazing.
Dave Coulier,
no,
Bob Saget.
Come on, you saw him there.
No, I didn't.
Lauren?
I didn't. I didn't see anyone besides
Blackie,
you.
Blackie, Jesse, with Uncle Jesse.
John Stamos.
John Stamos. Yeah. With like some. Maria just
What'd
looked
you
up.
Call
she's. Uncle Jesse?
No, Blackie?
Blackie was from General Hospital.
Oh.
But but yeah, it's so funny. Maria goes, oh my God. She's like, how old is that girl with him? I go, Maria, she's legal age, but she's awesome, and so is he. Some like amazing 22-year-old. I'm like, you fucking go get him. He just looked like a rock star. And
yeah. Oh my God, he was amazing in Fuller House. He looks so freaking.
Yeah,
good
he's
still.
He's like awesome he's a by the way amazing guy too. But really? But as I was there, Lauren, I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Great target.
Yeah.
Right. Great
I thought
place
of it too.
Great, right. Great mm-hmm. place for some douchebag to come in there and go, okay, let's party. And so I'm looking around. And by the way, one thing that's good about fuckballs, and especially in the condition I'm in, I'm going right the fuck at them. Suicide bomber all the way.
It's fuckballs.
That's right. And I was thinking, so I'm thinking as she's singing, I'm like, I probably could take 3 or 4 bullets and keep going on adrenaline, at least to disarm. And I go, but then I have to hope the LA pussies all jump on the guy's body. Because it's all for naught if it's just one guy.
Yeah, I don't know, Kev. Boston, yeah.
Boston, forget it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Forget it. You'd be, everyone would be fighting to get to the, it'd be like a brawl just to get to the guy. It would be a friggin' brawl. But anyway, but I'm just saying, you know, like who wants, I don't want to live in that world, Roxy. Like, and I feel.
I agree.
And but scary. There's other people who say, hey, you know what? That's the world we live in and just deal with it.
Who the fuck says that?
A lot. Anyone who's saying, I don't want. Any measures to be taken. I don't want any drastic measures to be taken. I don't want more security. I don't want my privacy invaded. I don't want to curb our immigration policies because our country was founded on it. By the way, our country was founded 200 years ago and we had muskets and we were friggin' farmers. Like, things change.
Isn't there a difference, though, between changing our gun control policies and changing
curbing them.
Yep, curbing
again,
them. Curbing slow our immigration policies.
Curbing, slow it down.
And hacking into people's cell phones and computers. Don't you think there's a difference there?
No, because we may have to hack if someone's up to, like, no good. By the way, Rox, you would think I'd be like, oh, please don't hack mine because Maria and her fame could get out. But you know what? Ask an honest person what they think. I've asked my mom. She'd be a hack away. I have nothing to hide. Hack away on me. Nothing to hide. It's
really?
The people who are shady who go, mm-hmm. And then obviously.
Yeah, I guess I'm shady then.
No, you're not shady. You're just a liberal and an independent thinker, right? It's part of your culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fabulous. But again, right now, it's like if that's going to slow them down, I want to slow them down. I don't, you know, like they're going to keep coming. They're coming more and more and faster and faster. And yes, we can cry and we can mourn and we should, but we have to fucking do something.
But so you're
and that doesn't mean drop a nuclear bomb. It doesn't mean go and do that like that. Oh, let's nuke them. That's not going to work.
What would your hypnotherapist suggest then? That women stay at home and don't work
I didn't go
anymore?
Any further with her because I believe the father, a male can do that as well.
So you just need parental guidance more frequently.
Listen, I go to my lawyer and his daughter is like little genius and totally self-adjusted. And they were divorced. Him and his wife were divorced at a very young age. But everybody showed this girl love. Uncles, everyone was involved. So I think ultimately you just need that love and attention.
Yeah.
If you're getting that, I think you're fine. And it just has that mother. I didn't go any further with her, but that mothering love needs to come from somebody. A nanny may not be able to provide that because they don't have the love. They have the work ethic down, maybe, but that real love, like, I love you, Roxy. I'm here for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think. You can get that from different people, and I think we have to be open because everything evolves. I think we have to be open to new family things. So I don't think it's, you know, Lauren, you got to stay at home with your kid. No. If that happens here, forget it. You can kiss everything you see in my life goodbye. But I think I'm confident that I could do that. Maria's parents are in, you know, they're here half a year. Like, I think Uncle Joe, Uncle Phil, like, we have, like, such a great team of people who I know would love on any baby that came in this world.
Auntie Roxy, once they can dress and talk. You
exactly.
Know,
no, once they're once they're low maintenance and right, they're not going to be in. Yeah, no,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Uncle Jared, when he can buy them beer.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, I just thought that was.
Makes sense to me.
I just thought that was. That was interesting.
It is. It's really interesting.
Right?
You know? I think that we all poke, like, there's a problem and everybody's been tweeting. Something's got to give. Something needs to change. We need to change something. Well, what
but
the
it's not something. It's just multiple adjustments that we have to make. We've got to make adjustments on the guns. We have to make adjustments on security issues. We, you know, and listen, there's sometimes in life and in war, you have to make hard decisions. We interred the Japanese in World War II. Now, it's a blemish on us. The Japanese-Americans, few Japanese-American, mm-hmm. It was like, you know what? All good. We're not going to torture you, but guess what? We're very much concerned you are going to compromise our safety here. So guess what? We're putting you in a camp. Now, today, that is just completely like, oh my God, this, that, and the other thing. But I'm not saying it was right. I'm just saying we were at war. So right now, it doesn't mean putting Muslims in camps or whatever, but it may mean that these hostile countries really maybe shouldn't be taking any of those people right now until we can figure some things out. Maybe not. Maybe not.
Would you like to know what Ian has to say on
all
this in the chat?
Oh, Christ. Go ahead, Ian. Mother.
Those who would give up essential liberty...
Oh, son of a bitch.
...to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety.
What a douche, huh?
Benjamin Franklin actually said that.
Okay, again, Ian.
What a douche Benjamin Franklin was. What's he doing on the 100?
300,
he sucks,
300 years ago when it was muskets and, you know, I mean, it's a different world and societies have to evolve. And it does not mean that we shut down immigrants. Like, that's not the solution. Immigrants have built this country. They'll continue to do so. But we have to be more stringent. And it's unfortunate. And some of these cultures that fucking hate us and want to kill us, I'm sorry, you know? Like, this guy, yeah, he was New York, fine. But his dad is like an Afghani politician.
The dad freaks me the fuck out.
Oh, and anyway, but...
Lauren, too, I know.
I just thought the whole mother... It was just interesting. And when I think of some of my friends, all I'm saying is that are better adjusted. I think that they were given that. They were not raised by cable TV or video games or DVDs.
All right, what's your opinion on that, Kev? The video game argument, the DVD argument.
Well, when you go to the... Listen, you're okay... This is why what this lady spoke to me, because you're okay playing crazy video games, blowing people up, but you still are sensitive enough to be, oh my God, I don't want to kill anybody.
But how do you know when a kid's a kid, if they're going to be the kind of kid who's okay or not?
Because you probably had a family that showed you attachment to humanity, made you sensitive, made you aware. So it makes sense. Now, there's a whole other ball of wax with the kids that get the unhealthy love. But real love is tough love, too. But when you're getting love like, here's your car, here's your best Xbox, oh, you want those sneakers, your Jordans, here they are, that's not love. And that, again, creates this desensitization, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of you guys suffer from that. A lot of the millennials suffer from that. Even the ones of you that are... not going to go shoot places up, because everyone got a trophy, you don't know pain, and therefore you don't know real pleasure. And Lauren, at some point you and I will talk on the air, because I know career-wise there's some nice things happening for you. But I was saying to someone else about it, the reason it must feel awesome is because it fucking sucked to get there.
Yeah.
You struggled and you fought and you got beat up and you hung the fuck in. And now you earned it. You didn't get the fucking participation trophy. You know? And this is what parents who want to give... I get sick every time I hear a parent, a civilian parent, say to me, anything for the kids. You know? It's like... Let them skin their knees. Slow it down. Let them want for something.
What do you mean anything for the kids? Like, in what?
Meaning anything for the kids. Their happiness is first. They have to have...
So I've heard Brandy say that a million times about her two kids.
What?
I'm excited for you guys to get into
it. You know
that.
What? And they have to... It's like 18 years of, like, bliss. But what happens is, year 19, when you leave the house, then people find out, wait, what? It's not like that? It's not a fairy tale? I'm not... As I've said before, I'm not scoring the winning touchdown at the Thanksgiving game. I'm not being crowned prom queen. Oh, what? Now I'm either deeply depressed, need to be medicated, or I have to fucking kill somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is the little monsters we're raising. Like, no, let them. Let them skin their knees. Let them feel some pain. You know?
Yeah. I really don't.
Again, Lauren, and I can't wait to talk about it more on the air, and I hope things continue to progress well for you, because it looks like there's some good things happening in your future, but that's the first thing I thought of. Now, how does that feel? It's got to feel frigging good.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Rather than something that's just, you know, given to you, you know, and I know that feels good in the short run. But that's just like heroin. It's just it goes in your system, gives you a high for a few seconds, then you crash, and what's my next high? But anyway, what am I talking about?
Brilliant thing.
Freaking Ian, god damn it.
Yeah, he's still in the chat.
You know what? And I actually have an assignment for Ian. Brandy's not here yet. Are we still waiting on Brandy?
We're still waiting on Brandy.
Oh, good.
We'll
okay,
let you
good.
Know. I'll Thank put you. Up the sign when she's here.
So I have an interesting assignment for Ian.
What is it?
And for the Tomorrow Show staff. Well, I'll throw it out there anyway.
Okay.
I've been hearing a lot more about the gathering of the Juggalos, and I want to give credit where it's due for Wolfie on Howard Stern.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
And I think the Tomorrow Show needs to assemble a landing party, a small one and a stealth one. And I believe we need to beam to 2016 Earth for the gathering of the Juggalos. Beam to Ohio. I think it's sometime late July. I think we need a remote shoot at the gathering of the Juggalos. And if anyone, can anyone in the booth tell us more about the gathering of the Juggalos?
We could chime in. If the crowd is familiar with the band ICP, Insane Clown Posse, look them up if you're not, because these guys are classy. We know that they're big wrestling fans, right, Kev?
Yep.
And they're big, kind of, I don't even know what you call it. It's not even rock. It's like rock, rap.
Can you play us something?
But, yeah.
But they dress in clown makeup, but everyone who attends Rocks puts on the clown makeup. Their audience is, they're called the Juggalos.
Not Gigolo. Juggalos.
Juggalos.
Juggalo.
And the Juggalos, I mean, there's thousands who make a pilgrimage to this gathering. And everybody, bring up some images from the gathering of the Juggalos to show Roxy.
Is it about the music? They love the band? Or are they?
Yeah.
Is it like wearing Kiss face paint to a Kiss concert?
Bigger.
It's a lot more about the experience, the violence. The FBI classified the Juggalos as a gang because of how violent some of these pre-shows, particularly
it's a good picture to show
gathering
Roxy.
Was. Yep. Yeah.
What kind of violence?
Well, to hear them tell it, they say they've seen people die. I think that might be, trumped up a little bit, but a lot of fighting.
So I told Ian, I go, Ian, you're in Chicago, make it happen. He was like, are you insane?
He criticized their website, so Juggalo Nation should know that Ian is not with ICP.
We're going to put together a stealth crew. Ian, unfortunately, will have to be there. Jared, I know you live close by. It's like, Christian, I was thinking when there was a great episode where Kirk had to select whether Spock or McCoy went on a suicide mission. And ultimately, he chose Spock because he knew physically his body, being a Vulcan, if there was anyone who could survive it, he could. And I have to say, Christian, where you're a dad, I really think we're going to have to leave you on the bridge.
I may need to
stay on the bridge to command the Tomorrow Show.
Somebody's going to have to beam you guys back.
Right.
Scotty will definitely go. So I'll stay at the helm. Yeah.
So then Ian said, Roxy, I know you have Comic-Con that weekend.
Yeah.
So we could have you come. But then I said, you know what? I'm Captain Lou. Let me give me my golden Terra. I go, Ian. I go, I land. We go to Arby's. I get a cashier. I said, I turn her into a co-host like Captain Lou would do.
Oh, I love
Arby's.
That.
Boom. We go. And that's it. You're co-hosting. But look at this group. Ian is so horrified and so frightened.
I don't know if I get it. Like, I usually get most hip things. Is this cool? Like, what the fuck's happening?
This is, look, it's everyone in face paint.
So they're watching the concert.
Many concerts. No, there's, like, many stages, many concerts. There's a wrestling show going on. It's like a 4 or 5 day experience on this ginormous piece of property somewhere in Ohio. And somehow the crew of the Tomorrow Show has got to get there, beam there, and broadcast to make it all work. So we're in the early stages. Maria, of course, like, okay, interesting. Who's paying for this? And I said, Maria, as you know, listen, the Federation practices retard economics. I say, we'll figure it out.
Whoop, whoop.
And we drink Faygo soda. We have to assimilate, just like on Star Trek. We've got to assimilate to this culture. It's our only way, Jared, to survive.
Oh, I'm completely in. And we got to get someone to be there to give us professional face painting. It's got to happen. The whole crew's got to get painted up.
Painted with, but still in costume.
Yeah, Star Trek Juggalos.
I think when we broadcast, we have to be in costume because it's Federation. But I think when we were on the adventure, we need to be in 2016 Midwestern Juggalo attire.
Well, can't you just broadcast in our uniforms with the
Yes, that's what I just said.
Oh, I thought you said
No, we'll broadcast with it, but when we're on the adventure...
No, but with the paint on the face.
Yes, for when we broadcast. Face paint, but we have to be in uniform.
Right, okay,
I believe that's
it,
Federation. But when we're on the adventure, Jared, it has to be like the crew of the Enterprise. When you beam down to 2016 Earth, Ohio, we need the computers to simulate us into Juggalo attire because we've got to assimilate.
Oh, my God.
We've got to assimilate. Wow, look at these pictures. Yes. So this is going to be a rough one. Anyway, end of July, and Ian...
We should get at least daily or weekly, you know, either a Monday and Thursday, or at least one day we should get a status update from Ian as to how he's progressing.
Supposedly he's talking to their publicity people early next week. So, yeah,
be good. All right. So we'll find out next week. That's great.
Let's switching subjects. And by the way, comments. I never do this, but I'm supposed to. Comments, questions, etc. Tweet us at The Tomorrow Show. Or on iTunes for most of our listeners, please make sure you rate and comment. And by the way, if you're a listener and you're in Ohio, well, maybe you'll be joining us for our first beaming, our first mission for the Tomorrow Show. Anyway, I know we've had much Brock Turner discussion, and I almost feel like he's now been put. I was telling Jared, he's been put, Brock Turner, the convicted sexual offender.
Stanford rapist.
Mm-hmm. I was saying how, God, he's gotten a little lucky with Orlando because I feel like he's left the news. And then, Jared, you were saying, he goes, Kevin, even Orlando now is being forgotten. And we were talking about, God, if 9/11 happened today.
Yeah.
This is just how rapid it's become and how desensitized, unfortunately. Again, it's been a new world since 9/11.
I know.
It makes you think, like, you know, because that was, you know, it was every month, and then it was every, you know, anniversary every 6 months, and then every year. But now it's crazy. If it happened today, I think it would be, maybe you'd feel something for a few months.
Would it be in our textbooks if it happened today?
Again, yeah, it would be in your textbooks, but it would...
Because none of these things are in our textbooks.
Yeah, but I'm talking another 9/11,
yeah,
which is gigantic, act of war, pretty much. But I don't think that you wouldn't feel it like you did for a couple of years. I mean, people with flags, and I think it would go away quickly, and that's kind of sad.
Yeah. God, again, the world we're living in, man.
Yeah, I mean, until one of these specific events leads to some kind of gun control reform or something, then that would be what gets included in a textbook, you know, that this legislation happened because, you know, after 30 people, after 50 people, well, finally, like 500 people, you know, whatever terrible thing could be in the future, that's what I think would take.
Speaking of, we should probably, before we check in with, I know every week we check in with Brock's Twitter account to see what activity he has. We have been talking about forming the Tomorrow Show Legion of Doom, and I believe we also have another member who will disclose after we look at Brock's thing, so I want to tease that.
I don't know who it is.
Well, we'll debate whether this person should be. I think this is a no-brainer. I think we have to discuss it to vote in. So, Jared, before we go to... Jared, didn't you have a nice drop for me to take us into when we look at one of the Tomorrow Show Legion of Doom people's, when we look at Brock's Twitter feed? What do we have?
He's still on the Insane Clown Posse.
Oh, wow. Jared, 32, getting weak.
Jared.
Oh, no. What happened to Lex?
Oh, yeah, I got it. That's the video.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Drop Lex and then go to the
confusion
march.
Confusion with this drop talk, Ken.
No, you go from Lex to the march. We talked about
it,
Jer.
Exactly.
See, we don't have a Fred Norris, so we have to all do it together.
Jer Bear.
That's right.
Hashtag Jer Bear,
hashtag
by the way. That should get trending.
Sure. Jared at 32.
With the Super Friends working as a team, we'll be wiped out one by one.
That's precisely why I've asked you all here today. They probably can wipe us out unless we two form a bond to work together.
Shit.
The 13 of us will form the most powerful and sinister group the world has ever seen.
No.
From now on, we'll be known as the Legion of Doom.
Woo. We'll need a headquarters, too.
Yes, as I say.
Oh, Black Manta. Wow. The Tomorrow Show Legion of Doom is being formed. Of course, one of the first inductees is Brock Turner. What's his nice, right? Listen, if we know who these people are, there's our super friends, we have a chance we can beat them, right, Rox?
Yeah.
Let's look and see what is up with what's his Twitter account?
At Real Brock Turner.
All right, at Real Brock Turner. So what's been going on this week?
Well, there's a lot of at mentions for him this week, and let me get them queued up. There's so many, Kev. It's highly entertaining.
Oh boy.
Let's start back from yesterday, because I really think that yesterday was prime time. Because our music people chimed in.
Okay.
Someone made a nice picture here. Brock Bob Rape Pants.
Oh God.
Yeah.
With his face on SpongeBob audio listeners.
Yeah.
A little shout out to Steampunk
Panda.
At.
Yeah.
At Julian Oleski.
Nice, Julian.
Yeah, that was a good work there. A few retweets, retweeting the beautiful day picture he posted. Gonna paint the town red tonight. Brock posted pictures of the Stanford campus, and then he was apparently gonna go out that night. Some people retweeted. Someone named Aubrey liked the Dirty Fucking Rapist. If only this was the real Brock Turner, though. So some people are a little skeptical, Kev, if this is the real Brock Turner, but we know it is. And
go look at his. What is what is his what does his profile say?
Let's look.
Oh yeah, this is how you tell.
Son, swimmer, student, repeat.
Yeah, it's gotta be. When was he? What's the in August 1st, 1995? It's gotta be him.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the most active Twitter profile for. There's a lot of faux Brock Turners out there.
Right.
This has been the most active. Most people protesting against him.
Did you say someone was creating a song?
Yes. Did you find that link for you?
Did you hear the song yet?
Yes. There's a music video as well.
We sampled it pre-show.
Is it any good?
It's actually amazing. Yes.
Wow.
Cue it up for you.
What?
The Brock Turner song that
it's a website that was started. It's by a group called or I guess the name of the song is Steak and Rape.
Ooh. Okay.
Must be a play on Steak and Shake. The Chang. Yeah.
How lovely.
And here we go.
Okay, so in the video we have a girl dropping, writing on a wall, Brock, this one's for you.
You is underlined multiple times.
Oh God, she does not look happy.
How old are you? Much do you weigh? What did you drink that day?
That the fake tear running down the face.
Oh my God.
I like her lipstick.
This is great. An actress mouthing, right? This isn't her voice. Where
exactly? This could be her.
Wait.
Oh, Christ.
Do you have sex with him?
What?
It's quite the allegation.
Do you cheat? What did you eat? What time did you take?
Is she asking these questions to him?
Yes.
The whistling. Yep.
He's a winner.
Right?
That's
student, son.
So,
did the judge go to the same school as him?
Nice chorus.
Oh, yeah.
Is he bright? He's got a dick, so we must be right. Where's Lauren? Girls ask for it.
Lauren's getting drunk in the van.
By the way, sleeping girls, do they ask for it, Rox? This is interesting.
Oh,
the violins. Nice.
Gotta be from Mac. I knew it.
Okay, we got lipstick. She's putting on one shoe. B,
and then T, I bet.
BTZ.
I knew it. I'm just so fucking smart.
BT on the on the Doc Martens.
I want a pair of Docs. Okay.
Yeah, they're cool.
Did you notice the subtlety of the whole song next to the dumpster?
Yes. Brock will see you in 6 months.
Because that's when he gets out of jail.
From your fate.
Wake.
It's our turn to get some action, son.
Oh,
boy.
She's going to kill him.
Turn to get some action, son. It's our turn. Yeah. Action, son. It's our turn to get some action, son. The menstruators.
Yes.
So let's go. Wait. We got to slow that. We got to give these guys a little love.
Yeah. Hold
created
on.
By Nadia G.
For you.
Hold on.
Created
on.
By Nadia G. Right?
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Rock's thoughts. I mean, listen, you're Brock. You kind of have arrived. You got your own theme.
I don't even know what to do with that. I mean.
I think he's. I mean, listen. I think the pitchforks are sharp. I think the torches have been lit. And I think, I don't know what this guy does. I think you got to leave the country.
Oh, yeah. That's right? What the family keeps saying. Like, our lives have all been ruined.
I think you're out. I mean, but on the other hand, and I throw this out to the room, Mark Furman says the N-word, and he moves to the mid during the O.J. trial. Remember the investigator involvement?
Yeah.
Okay. So he moves to the Midwest, in shame, basically disappears to some little hometown.
Yeah.
And now he's on Fox News as a broadcaster.
He is. He said the N-word and he was very racist.
Multiple times.
Very racist, hateful person.
So, but does this trump racism?
Rape? Yes, certainly it does. It doesn't trump racism as a thing. It's not like racism is less of a problem than rape is, but using the N-word and being a racist person is not as punishable of a crime as raping someone. Absolutely.
Okay, so we've mixed messages here. I want to help this group with their branding. So severe impact, the Brock Allen Turner mixtape, Stomp Out Rape.
What's on his eyes?
Let's give a shout out. Brock. It's Brock Turner mixtape.
.tumblr.com.
.tumblr.com.
So you'll see here, if you're watching live, we're showing the website here. It's Brock Turner mixtape. .tumblr.com. And there's a link to the video, which was posted by Bitchin' Kitchen Online with 921 views.
And the band is called The Menstruators.
Let's help. We got to help these guys with branding. By the way, why don't we, can we find them?
Yeah, let's get them.
We should talk to these guys.
Let's get them booked with the most interesting man in Encino.
By the way, I think this would all go above the most interesting man in Encino's head. I don't think he'd be able to process this. But
finally, you admit what you really think.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Brock could live in his guest house.
But this is God. I don't know, but this happens to this guy. Rox, I think you leave the country.
I think that's when you off yourself.
You take yourself out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You don't.
But the mother said it was only 20 minutes.
It was only 20 minutes for her.
Lauren, I know you were out in the Tomorrow Show party van, but you missed the song. You might have to cover it and do a folk version.
Oh, boy.
An unplugged version. And we have to talk to these people. By the way, I give them credit for doing this. I mean.
Yeah.
Do you think it's too far, Roxy? Okay.
I don't know.
Anyway, well, listen, I'm going to say right now, my newest person that I put up for the Legion of Doom real quickly before we go to Brandy, it is the killer. I'm not going to say his name. It's the killer's second wife from the Orlando shootings. And Jared, you did due diligence and you found her Twitter or Facebook?
Twitter.
Okay, so what's her Twitter?
It's how do you pronounce her first name? Nora? Is it Nora or Noora? I'm not sure the pronunciation, but it's Nora Mateen 86 on Twitter.
Gotcha. Interesting. What do we think? We think Tomorrow Show Legion of Doom, right?
Oh, the wife?
Yeah, absolutely. The second wife who they're finding out more about how much he knew. Maybe was with him to buy
the
bullets.
Messages.
Maybe. Yeah, right? By the way, this is another one. I don't see how she gets out of this without, you know, like Maria being... Maria
I just
being,
don't think we know the whole story yet, so I'm still waiting to reserve well, my judgment.
Maria had a good point. She said, Kevin, they may... The reason they may not hang her is they need... They're trying to get information out of her.
Yeah.
So maybe they cut some kind of deal, but... Wow.
We don't cut any deals.
That, oh, by the way, that's, listen, let's go old school 1968 Hawaii 5-0, not the new one. One of the things Steve McGarrett, Jack Lord Steve McGarrett, always said is no deals. Never made deals. Never made deals. And by the way, and as I said, Roxy, never was fooled. Not for a minute. Not at the beginning, the middle. No one ever fooled him in 12 years. But he never made deals. So Christian apparently says, no, we're not making a deal with Nora.
Do you think that Lou could have fooled him?
Who's that?
Lou Albano?
Fooled who?
Fooled Hawaii 5-0? I'm mixing the world.
No, never. Oh, my God. Nobody McGarrett would read Lou.
Nobody could fool him?
No. No. Jack Lord, the 19th. If you want to see 12 years of a character that just worked around the clock.
Okay.
He would be like me right now. He'd have a drain of adrenaline as I'm going through right now because he protected the wall for a long freaking time. Anyway, we'll listen. Monday we can talk more about this chick.
And we got the spelling for the fans if they want to find her.
Oh, there she is. At Nora Salmon.
Yeah, N-O-O-R.
Oh, my God. And what
S-A-L-M-A-N.
Rox, what does her profile say?
It says, just another crazy Palestinian chick from the Bay Area doing her thing.
Oh, my God.
I will say, she might be in our Legion of Doom, but her eyebrows are on fleek.
What's fleek?
They look good. They're on point. Good eyebrows.
Anyway. All right, you guys,
Katie
listen.
Knows what I'm talking
we're going to go
about.
To a very quick break, okay? And then finally, be great. The one and the only, Brandy Glanville, coming. The Tomorrow Show, thetomorrowshow.com. We'll be right back.
What's up, party people? Roxy Stryer here from The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. We're your twice weekly broadcast of one man's midlife crisis and the mad millennials in Star Trek uniforms that follow him.
And I'm one of those millennials, Lauren Magrasso here. We've had some amazing guests like Russell Simmons, Ileana Douglas, and Craig Gass. Coolio, right?
Christian Blatt in the house to tell you to go to thetomorrowshow.com to check us out. We're live every Monday and Thursday from 10 to midnight Eastern. That's thetomorrowshow.com. Be there or be square, whatever that means.
This is Jim Rockford. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
Hey, Kevin, it's Ileana. Listen, it's been over 24 hours, and you haven't called me and asked me a question about Goodfellas. So I'm just beginning to wonder if maybe you're okay. So just give me a call. I'm missing you. Bye.
Step on that. Step, step, step on it. You have to step on it because it becomes law. Step on that.
It's fuckballs. It's fuckballs. It's fuckballs. It's fuckballs. It's fuckballs.
I'll drink to that. I'm so fucking good at what I do.
I got nothing left in the tank. It's fuckballs. It's fuckballs. It's fuckballs. It's fuckballs.
I'll die or go to jail, and you won't. Yes, and we are back with the lovely, popular, talented Brandy Glanville. Brandy, I think they're playing red wine for you.
But if they knew, they would be playing white wine.
Yes.
See? See? Millennials.
I mean, get it straight, people.
I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you so much for coming.
I mean, you guys are neighbors. Of course you've done my podcast. I'm, of course, going to do yours.
I remember doing that. I remember being so... You know what really impressed me, Brandy, is that you really try on the podcast. Like, you embrace hosting and, you know, some other celebrities who do it, they just kind of lean back. And they just kind of shoot the shit, you know, Roxy. It's like, oh, how are you? Oh, yeah. But you did you do your research, and you were asking really good questions. And I mean, you know, listen, people go to film school and broadcast journalism school for years.
Yeah,
and I
know.
Just, I love when I see that, you know?
Thank you. I think it's really important. If you're going to spend your time and be here for me, I'm going to do my research and know your background.
But you know that a lot of other celebrities just, they don't.
Yes, I've been on some other celebrity podcasts myself.
Right. So you know that they don't. So I really admire that.
Thank you.
We were talking earlier, you know, we were talking earlier about you, and I was saying how it seems like you guys have to continue to set the bar higher and higher. You know, you have to keep shoveling coal on the fire, and you just wonder, where does it get to at some point where there's, say, the Brandy who's at home and then the Brandy who's on TV, and does it short circuit? Does it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that on Housewives, I definitely hit a point where I couldn't do it anymore. I was like, I'm not showing up for the reunion. It was just such a toxic environment. I couldn't stay happy when I wasn't shooting for my kids and for everyone, because I was thinking so much about the drama that just happened and that is down the road going to show to the public, thinking what the public is going to say and the backlash. It's a 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week job. And it really, in the end on Housewives, it was really tough for me, and I really was glad to take that break.
I think one of the things Kevin was talking about, though, was that version of you, does it bleed into your everyday life sometime? Like, of course, on the show, it's more wine throwing, more girl fights, things right. like that. And then, of course, at home, you have these two great sons and you aren't that person. But sometimes does it get confusing who you are where?
No, you know, because there is that version of me. I have my kids 50% of the time. So when they're with me, I'm like super mom, and I'm, you know, we're going out to dinner, we're in bed by 9:30. But when they go to their dad's, I do turn into that fun drunk Brandy that throws wines and does crazy crap. So I definitely have a split personality. And right now what I'm trying to find in my life is balance, somehow to marry the two so that it's not like completely two different people.
I give you credit for not going to the reunion, and because as painful as it would have been, it would have probably been great for your career to show up in that toxic environment. Audiences would have loved it.
You know,
but you resisted that. That's interesting.
Well, you know, I wanted to have a say, but at the same time, I wanted to see what the woman would do without me, because it's so easy to go after that weak person or that weak link or the storyline that you've been doing for 5 years. I wanted to see what they would do and sit there with each other and turn on one another without that easy scapegoat there to go after. And I actually asked Kim not to go. I said, I don't think you should go and sit down with these women. Why would you give them that? But she did, and that was on her. You know, I wanted to do it from my house. I wanted to say what I wanted to say, and I wanted to be done.
Did that cause friction between you and Kim that she went? Or
gosh, no. I mean, she's a grown woman. I did worry that they would all go after her in that moment rather than going after one another. And it's an intense environment. It's 12 hours on a couch. You get like one bathroom break.
That's what I was going to ask you. So we used to do the MTV Real World reunions and the Challenge reunions, and we used to host them. And it was 12 hours. And they would have to edit it down to 44 minutes. So, right? It's not, maybe not the most accurate.
No, you're sitting there and, you know, there's a ton of things that happen, but they don't want us off planning and talking to one another. So they keep us there. You know, we might get a bathroom break. Someone walks us to the bathroom. You come back by the end of the day. It's probably when they get their best stuff, because we're all just exhausted. And if we don't get anything, no one's going home. So
are people drinking?
Oh, you know, we really don't drink until the end, because you have to be very clear-minded. You can't, you know, two glasses of wine and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. So in order to deal with everyone coming at you, you cannot be drinking. We like definitely all go out after. We go our separate little cliques and we go to the Beverly Hills Hotel or somewhere and we download and have a glass of wine, but not during.
Does that enter your mind when you're making a decision like that, when Kevin says it's probably better for your career to go, to cause drama, to be in the tabloids or whatever it is? Is that part a factor that you take in when you're making decisions?
You know, absolutely. I have to put bread on the table. You know, I have to take care of my children. I have to pay the rent. It is. But at the same time, if I'm home and I'm not happy when I'm home with my kids because I'm thinking about the drama that's going to unfold on TV, then I'm doing my kids a disservice. So as much as, you know, Andy and I, he's like, you're always grandfathered in. He's like, just come back when you want and we'll make it happen.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. He's been wonderful. And I really did need the break. And then when this Famously Single came along,
I jumped at the chance to do something different.
Right. Do your, you know, your husband, does he ever get upset with what this is doing?
Her ex-husband?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, your ex-husband who takes the kids, the boys.
You know, my ex-husband doesn't pay my rent, so I do. So I don't know what his issue is or what it could be, and it's not my problem. So, you know, I provide for my children, and that's all that matters.
Right. I get it. So Famously Single, by the way, like, it's a great show.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like it. And from what we hear, ratings are great. I know they're not telling you guys that, but, yeah, I get it. I mean, the first episode was.
Well, okay. We come from the Jersey Shore world. So yes. We're a big Jersey Shore fan. So I have to ask you a little bit about being with Pauly D, because he seemed, a lot of you guys seem so different on this show than the shows that I know you from. How was he in person?
You know, honestly, I fell in love with Pauly a little bit. I didn't watch Jersey Shore, but I was expecting this total Chachi Guido. And there is a little bit of Chachi in there, but he is the sweetest kind of soul. All the boys were great. Especially, I kept on joking that Pauly was my third child. I'm like, because he always said please and thank you, would hold the door open for me. He was such a gentleman. And we just had such a mutual respect for one another. He's like, did not expect you to be normal. I'm like, really? I didn't expect you to be normal either. So after the first day, it was a little rough. We had to like figure it all out because.
Because the thing with the frickin' shoes, with the guy with the pink shirt, I don't understand. Who was in the wrong there? Like, now that you went back, you looked at all that, was Pauly causing the drama? Was it you?
Let's preface it for the audience.
Yeah.
Right?
You guys, in the first episode,
right,
you're out at the bar. We're doing some sort of dating experiment. And there's this guy that you didn't know. And he's wearing a pink shirt. And he comes in. And I guess Pauly didn't like what shoes he was wearing.
Yes. So we had, you know, you realize there's lights and there's cameras and they're filming us. So obviously there's something happening and people are kind of looking. And this guy, you know, he walked over and he's like, hey, I just wanted to tell you, you look really beautiful. And he started talking to me. And I thought, this takes a lot of balls for a guy to like come into where there's lights and cameras into this area. And so we sat and talked for probably 20 minutes and he was lovely. He wasn't hitting on me.
Do you mean he wasn't hitting on you?
No, he really wasn't. I wasn't allowing it. I definitely.
He was just talking you to talk?
No, we talked about music, the kind of music we liked. He's like, what are you guys doing here? I kind of explained to him why we had the cameras and everything that you can't really, you know, we broke the third, fourth, whatever the wall is.
Right.
That said, you know, it was lovely. I went to the restroom. He went his way. And then he came back later and everything, they were like, no, you can't come in here. And I'm just thinking, if my kids treated anyone like that, I would just be so embarrassed. And I don't know who these people think that they are to be acting like you're in high school. So that was really a big, I just root for the underdog. I you know, like kind of give them props for making the effort to get in there in the first place. And I don't think any one person is better than another person. So these people with these giant attitudes and egos really bother me.
I have to find that mid-card is going wrestling, but I was going to say the smaller celebrities are the ones who are most like that.
It's very weird because honestly, I didn't know who a couple of, I didn't know Josh from The Bachelor. I haven't watched it. I didn't know who Samaya was. I knew Callum from modeling, but I was kind of in shock because they're like, we don't go out without security. Like,
all of them said that.
Like, really? Cause I'm at Ralph's every day without security. I do just fine.
Well, the other night we saw out last week, you guys,
Kim.
She's a neighbor. She lives in our area.
Just having fun. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And you guys are huge, you know, in that franchise. But
it's mind boggling.
It almost causes more tension when you are out with your security. It was almost like Kim was so incognito.
It's almost a look at me thing. I'm important. You have to, like, you're trying to convince yourself that you're important. And that was an issue I had with some of the people in the house. I was like, you're not Brad, you're not Angie, this isn't Survivor, no one's getting voted off, no one's winning $1 million at the end, so let's all just get along. And that was...
Do you think in the back of their heads, like, get along doesn't mean good TV, look at this guy Brad from, you probably don't know, but Brad from Bachelorette is this, like, ultimate supervillain. Like,
who he is, I've seen him on E! News.
Right, okay, yeah, no, but it's like, but, you know, they all know the trick after, everyone knows after how many years that, oh, this is how I'm going to...
Yes,
stand out. It seems like you've graduated beyond that. It seems like, you know,
absolutely.
I mean, but for these other people, like, Right? You think in the back of their head, they're thinking,
they're making,
I got to make
TV
my
show.
Mark.
Yeah. I believe that there was at least two people in the house, and I don't want to name names, that were thinking they were producing the show and they were doing things that were not natural or necessary.
Does that make for a better show?
Yeah. Did it make for a better show? Because sometimes when they do it, you know, it's obvious. And it's like, come on, stop. But was it making it better?
I think when you guys watch it through, you'll know who I'm talking about. And okay. I don't think it did us any favors.
Okay, Jared at 32, there's two people now we're going to be watching for every week that we're going to talk about. Mm. We got to figure out who these two are.
Wait and see who you think is being truthful and real about who they are.
So you already said that you love Polly, and it seems like he's about to get himself in a little bit of a romance.
Well, that's right, no secret, because it got out to the press.
Yeah, because it got out and because they still are trying to make it work or they're together. How do you feel about him and Aubrey?
You know, I was skeptical in the beginning because it all happened so quickly. It was like, you know, we're in a house 3 days later, she's saying, are you in love with me? And I was like, whoa, what is happening here? And I was joking with the both of them.
Aubrey O'Day was saying to Polly, yes, are you in love with me?
And I told her, I said, you need to slow down. First of all, you're scaring him to death. And secondly, are you just trying to plan a spinoff show? I said straight to their faces because it just didn't seem real to me. That said, we're almost, you know, 7 months later, we're not filming anymore and they are still together. And even when the cameras aren't rolling, they seem very much together.
You know, there's so many romances that blossom on film sets because you just get in this, you're, it's almost like summer camp or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like it's in, and it is instant where I love you after two or three.
It is weird.
Bizarre.
I haven't had that. Definitely had chemistry with people in the home and the house, wherever we were, but I've never had that instant relationship.
So this whole premise of the show is we're putting all these famous single people together in the house and we're seeing who hooks up. Is that?
But also with people outside too. It was
right.
Like dating people outside, but also living together.
We weren't supposed to be hooking up with one another. That wasn't the idea of the show. We were supposed to all be living under one roof, going through these different exercises that one celebrity, or she's not a celebrity, but Darcy Sterling, she was our therapist. She would put us through exercises that made us uncomfortable and get us out of our comfort zone and kind of do group therapy and figure out why we're single. And a lot of the exercises, I will tell you, were really hard. Some were really fun, but we weren't in any way supposed to be hooking up within the house.
Do you think they secretly planned that when they're picking the cast of this and they're trying to push, okay, I know this person is this type. There was somebody who looked like your ex-husband a little bit. Do you think that in the back of their heads they knew what they were doing there?
I mean, anyone who produces reality TV isn't dumb. I'm sure that there was a little bit of, you know, four guys, four girls, maybe something will happen. But they made it clear to us that's not what they were looking for. But you never know. I can't speak for them.
Mm. Speaking of your love life in the house, we see a little romance with Callum. Is that you've talked in interviews post saying, you know, he lives in the UK, you live here, not going to work out. But if he did live here, do you feel like you guys could move forward together?
You know, Callum and I are very similar creatures. We're both like, you know, solo ride until I die. Like I'm one, like I don't need anyone. I'm all good by myself. And he's very similar, but we were trapped in a house together. And I kind of say that he became my study buddy because we had chemistry, definitely. And we would get homework. Like he couldn't run away from me. And I had to like PDA 3 minutes a day. Like I'm not comfortable with that. So I had like a snuggle partner. I don't snuggle.
Wait, what do you mean you had to PDA 3 minutes a day?
I joke. I don't know if you can cuss on here, so I'm not going to.
You can.
Okay.
You can.
So I'm very like, I have the biggest dick in the room. I make sure I'm like, oh, I'm not going. I'm obnoxious. It's like, I don't like to show my girly side to guys because that means my heart could get broken again. And it took so long to put it back together. I don't want to let myself be in that situation. So with Callum and having to do these exercises with him, I definitely started to like let down my walls. I was snuggling and it was weird, but then once I got comfortable snuggling with him, he made sure to know, just let me know that I wasn't the boss of him and he was going to do whatever he wanted. And it was we both were working on our problems together and it was really nice to have one another to do that with.
So you did learn from this therapist, so yeah. It wasn't all just for cocktail. You learned.
No, I absolutely learned from
her. What are some of the things you learned?
Not only do I have trust issues, I tend to not date outside of my comfort zone.
And if I'm going to meet someone, I have to be open to meeting someone that isn't the hottest guy in the room, or, you know, isn't my
type. Is the comfort zone, what is the comfort zone for Brandy Glanville?
Someone that is the hottest guy in the room.
Hottest guy in the room, okay.
But also someone that doesn't want too much and isn't too serious, so I know that I can keep that distance, because when I have the weeks with the kids, my kids in 7 years have met one person. So I kind of go radio silent for a week. So something that is safe and not too serious, unfortunately. But now I'm realizing I need to find a balance.
What was the deal with the Uber driver then? Just hottest guy in the car?
Oh, wait. So again, Roxy, you got to preface this for the, because I was like, wait, I don't even believe this.
Yeah, but, well, because.
So it was alleged, right?
I'm just so excited because I have all these things, but they might not know. So it came out that you went on a couple dates with an Uber driver?
Yeah, quite a few, actually.
How's that go down?
Yeah.
Come on. All right, back up. Is it right. Uber X? Is it Uber Black?
No, it's Uber Black.
Okay, it's Uber Black.
Yeah. Hey-o.
Yeah, hey.
Okay. So how the freak does an Uber driver get Brandy Glanville?
I called them. We were having a birthday party for one of my girlfriends. I called Uber. We're going to go back to my place because I have a really big dance floor. It sounds weird, but we do dance parties. I had four girlfriends and one guy. And so we get in the car. The guy sits in the front with the driver, and they're talking the whole way to my house. We get to my house. My friend invites the guy in. I'm like, hell no, you are not inviting a stranger into my house.
The friend
I don't know
did.
Him. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I was like, no.
Wait, civilian friend or celebrity friend?
He's famous famous in Australia, but it doesn't matter.
Okay, he doesn't understand. You don't just invite Uber drivers into your house.
Aussies are so nice. They make friends with everyone. I was like, no, not happening. And then I felt bad, and the guy got out of the car, and he was so hot. I hadn't seen his face yet, so I didn't know. I didn't know what he looked like. And he had an accent, and I was like, okay, you can come in. But I was like, I'm keeping my eye on you. We ended up talking the whole night. Anytime I would stand up from the table, he would get up and wait for me to come back and stand up when I came back. And it was really nice to have a gentleman in my life.
So why didn't he make the cut, though?
I mean, it's a lot of late night work, and, you know, No, he didn't.
Because he didn't want to deal with your late night work, or you didn't want to deal with his.
I think he would have dealt with whatever.
No,
come
I mean, we're still in contact. He's really sweet, but you know, he drives when he doesn't wait tables.
Got it.
So he's busy a lot, and there's very little time for dates. So we'll have a date from between seven and ten. I don't want to do that. I want to spend the evening if we're going to do it, you know, and not be on okay, we have to leave.
It's too bad because, you know, Liz Taylor, you guys would know this because you're younger, but married this guy, Larry, I think it was Fortensky.
Yeah,
He's
a construction worker, and it didn't last very long, but it was so buzzworthy. I don't know if you had made the run with the Uber driver, Brandy, it could have been something. There's Larry Fortensky. Look at that.
Oh,
nice
wow.
80s head of hair.
I like that hair.
Yeah, it didn't end up so good for him. I think he ended up in the wheelchair.
She had a million husbands, right?
She did. She was the original housewife.
Yeah. So exactly. She's gorgeous.
But I think that's amazing. So basically, I mean, have you always been like that? Does anyone have a shot, or does it have to be doctor, lawyer, and professional,
hot.
Celebrity, and hot? We already know hot.
I've always done hot. I don't know. Obviously, you see my ex-husband. You see a few of my ex-boyfriends. No, I just want someone now that I don't need to take care of, that can financially take care of himself, and that's independent. Because I don't need a fourth or third child. You know, I don't need that right now. And if I want to go to a nice restaurant, I don't want to feel uncomfortable going, hey, let's go to Craig's or something, and knowing he can't pay for it. So I just want someone that can take care of himself and that, you know, is a gentleman to me.
I could see that.
And that can deal with me being on TV and acting crazy.
Did you really date Ben Stiller in the 90s?
Yeah, we did.
What was that like? Did you know? was he just doing his TV show at the time, or was he becoming Ben Stiller?
And how did you guys even cross paths?
So we used to hang out at the Whiskey Bar, Sunset Marquee Hotel. It was all actors and models. And I came here as a model, and he would always be there with this little group. There was Randy Gerber and all of these guys. And we kind of all dated all of them. So there was a moment, and it wasn't
you dated Randy Gerber too?
No. Okay. I didn't date Randy. Okay. But there was a couple other guys within the group that I did date, and it was fine. It was fun. It wasn't anything serious. I think there was a few dates. He sent me an apple plant that got gnats, I remember, and they were all in my house for a long time. And we just, it just kind of, you know, fizzled off.
That's so Ben Stiller, though, isn't it? Like, he scores the hot model, and then he sends her an apple plant that gets gnats.
I don't think he had any problem getting, we all knew who he was. I don't remember if he was in movies yet or what it was, but he was also with this little clique. They were all very famous, too. So, you know, it was what it was.
You mentioned that Callum had slept with a bunch of your friends too. Does that happen a lot? Like, you got your group of friends will date the same group of friends and then kind of rotate a little bit?
I mean, not on purpose. There's no crossover. Like, we honestly didn't know each other when, like, all of that was happening. But when now some of my girlfriends are like, oh my God, I've slept with him. I'm like, okay. She's like, remember that? And I was like, okay, yeah, all right. So, we don't share at the same time. But like my girlfriend Jenny, I dated three of the guys that she dated before we knew each other. Because
and that doesn't cause problems at all?
No, because we're done with them. Sorry. I'm treating them like Guy Street Girls.
Yeah.
You're right. That's exactly how Guy Street Girls.
Like she said, she has the biggest dick in the room.
That happens.
I don't know if I would be able to do that.
Nice.
Yeah, it's behind us, though. I mean, we're not fighting over anyone now. We would never, once now we know each other, be going after anyone's boyfriends. Mm-hmm. But when you don't know each other and you just kind of compare notes, we're like, oh, wow, small world. The modeling world is a small world when you're in the 90s and you're living in Milan, Paris.
I mean, you being 16 in Paris, that's like, it's got to put you in a different mindset.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, I wouldn't change the past for anything. It was incredible.
You miss modeling? Because no. I know models your age that are still doing it and they say it's very lucrative.
No, I don't miss it. I mostly did runway. I wasn't huge in print. And, there's a lot of rejection. There's a lot of people telling you that everything that's wrong with you and how you're not as symmetrical and this and that. And it's so hard to do. And people don't quite get that. I modeled through my pregnancies and that was fun just because I got to, you know, kind of, I have a photo album of like me on the cover of a pregnancy magazine. I'm like, Mason, you're in my belly. But after that, it just became the kids were the most important thing to me, and I just wanted to be home with them. Mm-hmm. And now, I'm doing a lot of other things. I have my wine. I have my books. I have.
Yeah. Is the third book, if you announced yet?
No, we haven't because okay. I switched in the middle, but it'll be done by September.
Yeah. Any clue on what it's going to be about?
Well, it's a hybrid. We started with Chardonnay with everything because, as you know, I like my wine. But then the other part of it was who the fuck is Emily Post? Because my girlfriend Leslie, who I write with, she's like, you should do like an opposite manners book. And I said, what is that? She's like an opposite of Emily Post. I'm like, who the fuck is Emily Post? And she goes, that's going to be in the beginning of the book. And so when I Googled and I read all of these things and I started reading her books, it was really interesting to me. And it's going to be a hybrid of these two things. So it's definitely all over the place, but thank God for editors.
What do you think about that topic, Kev? I know you're a master.
Well, yeah. No, I think it's great. I mean, this is her brand.
Yeah.
And she's building the brand. The first two books were New York Times bestsellers. So I love it. It's just – and you have to keep evolving, and you're doing it in a healthy way, healthier way rather than, like you said, just continually subjecting yourself to – although I'd be licking my chops at getting her back on Housewives.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that there is – I know you said that the door is open, but do you think that there's a chance that you go back that way?
Well, right now with Yolanda not coming back onto the show, it wouldn't make sense for me to be back on the show unless Kim was back because I'm not really friends with the other women. In fact, I genuinely dislike
but has that even? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But don't they usually not care? Don't they usually just insert you and just add water to the friendship?
You have to have a reason to be there. You know, they can't just go in with a bunch of women hate. Hey, if I was a stranger, it would be okay to just insert me. I'd be like, oh, you know this person through her. But having been around all these women before, there's no sense for me to be there if I don't have an ally. And I don't.
It's going to sound crazy, but I always thought you and Lisa Vanderpump would get along well.
Yeah, we did. You know, we had a great time. And I there's part of me that loves her. Unfortunately, some things went down and they can't be corrected.
Really?
Nope.
Come on.
Nope. I'm in a lawsuit for a year now. I've spent over $100,000 about something she said that she's lying about.
So you're suing her or she's suing you?
No, I'm really not supposed to talk about it, okay. But we're involved. And it frustrates me because that's money that's taken away from my child.
Right,
my
right.
children. Yeah. And she just told the truth, it wouldn't be happening.
And she has a lot of money, so she can bleed you out. Ugh. Yeah. I just thought, you know what, meeting her and her husband and meeting you, I just felt like you guys would.
We did. We had a great time together, but, and, you know, things happen and people change and can't go back sometimes.
Do you think the show changed her or you?
I think it changes all of us a little bit. You kind of turn into a hyper version of yourself.
Does it change anybody for the better?
I mean, for sure, it's a great platform for all of us, for all of our other businesses and everything we have going on. But look at the divorce rate on these reality shows. I mean, I don't know that it's good for marriages. I don't know that it's good for relationships. The one relationship I had on the show was a big problem for him. It's really hard to do, but it's a great platform, and I wouldn't have what I have now if it wasn't for that platform. So there's good and there's bad.
How do you view a Bethany Frankel who has, you know, I feel was like the one who kind of took it, the business end of it, to the next level, which I love.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for her and for women in general. What are your thoughts on her?
You know, I think she's incredibly smart. I think she is so bright. I see why she went back. I feel like she's a lifetime housewife. Like that's what she needs to be doing. They need her to call BS on all the BS. And when she left the show, it got a little stale. And having her back, it's you know, great. And I love watching her, and I respect her as a woman and a business person and an entrepreneur. Like what she's done is what we all wish we could do and we're all striving for.
You watch all the other Housewives shows?
I do. I don't really watch Orange County that much or Jersey because it made me too sad. But I watch Atlanta. I watch New York because one of my best friends, Kristen Takeman, was on it for a couple of seasons. And then she's not on it now. But I watch it. Yeah, I feel like I know these ladies.
Hmm. I'm sitting here, I'm looking at your red lip, and it's reminding me that I just heard you in an interview talk about how Donald Trump told you no more red lips. What is that?
So that did him a lot of good, right?
Yeah.
No, everyone wanted to know what he was like, and he was honestly very sweet, very lovely. The one time I felt it was a little over the line, he's like, "Brandy, come here." I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Trust me, never wear a red lip again. Trust me."
And this was like, on Celebrity Apprentice.
Yes, during when we were shooting the finale. And so it was just kind of like, huh, okay. I said, I appreciate that. But it was just weird that he would think that he could have an opinion on my lipstick.
Business tactic? He was saying like when you go into a meeting, or he's just saying in life?
We had already finished. We were shooting the finale. So I have no – I had worn a red lip for some of the things, and apparently he didn't like it.
I think you're rocking it.
Thank you.
But so, you made the Final Four. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
It was intense.
Right? And with the hair and makeup you have to go through, it's even harder for, I think, the girls and the guys because your days are incredibly
much
long.
Longer. Yeah. Right? I would sleep in and just do it myself. I don't care as much as a lot of the other women. If they want to get up at 5 and do that, I'll sleep an extra hour, throw on some lashes and a clip or a hat.
Was that with the Donald Trump you saw? Do you think, is that what you saw was what we're getting?
I feel like he is.
I remember.
He's on a reality show in his head right now. I think that every time he speaks and every time, you know, he's in front of an audience, he's acting like he is in the boardroom. And I think he woke up one day and was just like, you know what? I think today I'm going to be president. Like
out of the blue.
Like he's just bored with life and thought, I'm gonna, you know, I'll do president. And I feel like it's really ego driven, and it is so scary that he's come as far as he's come. Personally, I've had nothing but, you know, decent interaction with him. However, it just speaks to how ignorant some Americans are that he is in the place and the position that he's in. So
he would never have your vote.
No, not ever.
Wow.
Well, a lot of the Apprentice alum have gotten behind him.
That's their, you know, I can't, just because I like him as a person doesn't mean I can get behind the things that he says and what he does and him telling someone to punch somebody in the face. And he's really made politics entertaining for the first time. But do I want him in an office making decisions for our country? No, I don't.
It's funny, we were talking earlier about how people get lost in their characters. Like some actors just get lost and they forget who they are. And then some of these reality stars, as I was saying, I think they're rewarded for their craziness, and then they have to get crazier and crazier, and at some point they forget who they are. So do you think that's the same with him now? When you say he's a reality star, he's playing like he's in this boardroom set
Yeah, I do.
And where the people coming, where the contestants.
I do believe it's something like that. I do believe that he's sitting back, you know, he's behind the, you know, gaveling for everyone and going, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen. He's telling us all what we want to hear, which is impossible for him to even achieve half of the things he's saying. He doesn't know what he's talking about. It's frightening. And I'm very liberal in a lot of ways. And so a lot of the things that he's saying, I can't get behind. And if you want to do that, that's all you. But
do you think that he believes it, or do you think it is just a role that he's playing?
I think he believes everything that's coming out of his mouth, but I believe that he's immersed himself in this role, if that makes any sense. It's, I'm better than everyone else. I'm going to run this. I can do whatever I want. This is my town kind of thing. And it's really almost a narcissistic behavior. It's frightening.
So are you then a Hillary fan by default because no way Trump gets your vote? Or do you legitimately like Hillary if that's who your candidate is?
My mom always says don't tell people who you voted for, but I did vote Hillary.
I can't get it out of Maria.
Oh,
my own fiance.
You're not supposed to talk about politics or religion, and now it's all everyone wants to talk about. So
it's
hard not to, though.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a different world.
We can talk about relationships a little more, though. I'm curious about something. No, it's a good thing. I hear for the first time in a long time you're getting along with your ex and his lady and all of that. What changed there? What was the transition that made things go smoothly?
You know, it's been 7 years since we've been divorced. Or split up. And oh, happy birthday, Eddie. It's his birthday today. You know, we're raising two children together in this crazy modern family. And something went down with one of my sons that I won't say. And it just brought us all together. And we had to realize that it's not about us and this foolish bickering. It's about these kids that the three of us are raising together, you know. And so we just had to put everything behind us. And we have. And I'm really proud of all of us.
Yeah, speak with narcissism. I think people do. They forget the kids and it's just, you know, these two like 6-year-olds fighting
right. As
a couple. It's like, come on, we have to co-parent the child. That's great.
Well, we've had ebbs and flows in the past. We've had like times where we get along and then something will happen. We won't get along, but I think this time it's going to stick.
Do you foresee any problems with, I know that Leanne's ex is Dean and you're taping a new show.
Leanne Rimes'
ex is Dean. You're taping the new show, My Kitchen Rules.
Yes, we finished. We finished taping.
You finished taping that.
Oh, that's right. That's on Fox. That's your other show you're doing. So, I'm surprised they let you do two.
It's
crazy. Who allowed this?
Listen, don't.
I'm sorry. You're right. No, you're right. Tough to pull off today.
Yes, I know. Everyone wants exclusivity across the board, and it's so difficult. It's really hard. But, you know, as far as Dean goes, we've been friends for 7 years. And
pushed for him to be your partner on the show?
I did. Yeah. I was given, you know, they asked me, they said, who do you want? I gave them two names, and I said I would prefer it to be Dean, just because I thought that would make for good TV, number one, because he is a little bit more inappropriate than people think. People look at him and they're like, oh, he's such a good, sweet guy.
So, Roxy, explain the love square.
So, the love square would be that Leanne Rimes used to be with Dean, is it Sherman?
Shermay.
And you, of course, broke up with who's now Leanne's. They're married.
Well, yes, he and Leanne
were
married.
You can explain it better. Yeah.
Eddie and I were married. Leanne and Dean were married. Eddie and Leanne cheated together. We both got divorced. Dean and I became friends through the divorce. Eddie and Leanne got married.
Dean got married again.
He did get married again and divorced again.
Okay.
So, but we stayed friends the whole time.
No hooking up just for revenge, for fun, like nothing. I would have went right in there. Come on. I would have went right the frig in.
There was a moment where we thought we should and we tried, but it didn't.
Just a roll around.
We were supposed to be friends. We were just meant to be friends.
Was that before the most recent ex-girlfriend or ex-wife?
I'm going to let you watch the show and find out.
Okay. Oh, good. Okay. Oh, we will find out.
Yeah, you will find
out. Oh, good tease.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Awesome. But when you push for him, so you're sitting there, and I know you've talked about your mom's, you couldn't have taken your mom or whoever on the show, but of all of your network, of everybody you could have pushed for to be on the show, that's who you thought of. Any part of that was more than friendship?
Well, I mean, yeah, part of it is that he had cooking training, and none of my friends cook. And he had just gone through a divorce and he was like kind of moping a little. And I said, listen, if they say yes, let's do this. This could be fun. And I wanted to win because I love cooking. And I thought, who better to cook with than somebody that's been a cook before? Like I said, none of my girlfriends cook.
And Eddie and Leanne said nothing about this, or you don't give a shit what they said?
I don't give to anything. I don't care. I'm not married to Eddie anymore. I don't have to give permission to do anything. I can do whatever I want. They've always known we've been friends. It doesn't affect our relationship, you know, whatsoever. And that's that.
Yeah, you got to let it go.
Yeah.
Hey, for them. We should get, I want to get Brandy's beliefs on.
What? What does that mean?
Brandy's beliefs on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I want to get your thought. You know, it's funny. I think you're ushering in a new form of womanhood where you're owning a lot of stuff. No, I mean that. It's, you know, it's just, I'm very interested on your thoughts on things in the news and things going on in the world.
So like I would want to get Brandy's beliefs on Taylor Swift and Tom Hiddleston, who are now together very recently after the Calvin Harris breakup.
Yeah, I'm not buying it. I don't think you move on that quickly. I don't anyway. I don't know that it's actually a romantic hookup.
Even that you saw the pictures of them on the beach?
I did not.
they're
a little out of it.
Let's see, Jared.
There was a makey-outy moment on the beach.
Oh.
She was even wearing his jacket, so you know that must be official.
That sounds like a song waiting to happen.
Yeah, and Jared, it's in Tom Hiddleston.
Okay, so you're a model, so you are an artist as well. I mean, do you just feel like – I see some of the artists in Hollywood, again, going back to these on-set romances where I feel like they just – go with their hearts, like, just, you know. So that's why I buy like, okay,
that did look very cozy,
right?
I didn't see that.
It looks pretty cozy.
Maybe, listen, I think that entertainers date other entertainers because it's safe and they know that they're there for the right reasons. They're there because they genuinely like you and are attracted to you. It's not because you're Taylor Swift. I mean, they both have, you know, everyone wanting to get in there and be a part of the limelight. And I feel like they do jump around quickly, but it's a little, you know, network of people. They stay within their game.
I feel like
game.
It's summer camp.
Yeah, it's true.
They just go with their heart and they jump around and they're, again, so sometimes, I hate to say it, so overindulged. So
no.
It's like, oh, next. But do you think in the back of their heads or these other, some of these people's heads, they're not thinking, kind of, this is good for my career?
Oh, I think absolutely so many people aren't mad to have like a, you know, I call it a showmance. A lot of the people that I just worked with, I was doubting. I was like, okay.
Like Aubrey and Pauly
I was
D.
doubting it, you know, and I was like, But I do think that everyone loves a love story. I know every time I pick up one of the tabloids and I do read them, someone's making up or breaking up, or we all love romance. And I think that that's part of it. And I think that, you know, we all have publicists and things that say, listen, let's do a beach shot, or let's get this, that'll make you move on from the Calvin Harris story, you know, let's change this conversation. I've had that, you know, said to me before. I wish I could move on as fast as she does.
Wait, just to get you a photo op with someone else?
Yeah, just be like, okay, you're single again, or you're out with the girls, and it's not about him. But yeah, I think that this could be that. It just seems like it's so quick. I don't know.
Something. All right, Brandy's beliefs on what else, Roxy?
I want to get Brandy's beliefs on the Hemsworth brothers, because you said you think they're a little cute. Do you have a favorite? Or
I'll take any of them. I like them all. I just love Australians. The Aussies are the best people ever. And I mean, I definitely like Liam. Yes, he's way too young for me, but there's three of them. They're all good looking.
Wait, I totally see you as hitting on the young guys. You don't date young guys?
I mean... Either the only guys that ask me out are the super young ones or the super old. There's no in between, like 30s and 40s, which is hard for me because then I feel like, you know, a cougar. But right. I also don't want to be with someone who's so old he has to pop a pill to have sex with me.
Right. So Liam comes up to you at a bar. What are you looking to do? Like one night stand, or you would want to really date
him?
Or?
Marriage round two.
Yeah.
I think I like – you know what? Who's the one on the left, you guys?
That's Liam.
Liam's on the left. Yes. Center's Chris. And who's the shorter one?
I think his name is Doug. I'm not sure, but he's cute. Look at those eyeballs.
It's not Luke.
Maybe it's Luke.
Is he the Jimmy Osmond? Is he like is he the oddball? He's too short. We can't have him.
Why?
Yeah, he's Tito Jackson.
Yeah, he's Tito.
Yeah, but the shirt, he's doing something smart, Kev. He's pairing the shirt with the eyes, and then they pop.
They do pop. It's the first thing.
No, he's giving his best, but Brandy's a tall model. It's not working. I think Chris... It's just, that's just too big. We're asking, you know what I mean? That's just too much for anyone to take on.
He's married with kids anyway.
And that one's name is Luke Hemsworth.
I think we got right. I think the mama bear's bed is just right.
Yeah, that's not Tom Miley. I said that. I just think he's cute. That's all.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
Okay, Brandy's, but while we still have her, Brandy's beliefs on...
The Kardashians, friends of yours, just in general.
You know what? I'm a fan. I did Cocktails with Chloe, her first episode. She is
smoked
genuine.
Smoked up with Snoop.
Smoked up with Snoop, yep. I called my dad to tell him. He's like, congratulations? What am I supposed to say to
rite
that?
Rite of passage.
Yeah.
But yeah, about Chloe.
Chloe's awesome. Like, down to earth. What you see is what you get. When the cameras were down, exactly the same girl, just really honest and genuine. I haven't really met the other ones, but I have to say I do enjoy that they have this family. I miss that I don't have family here, so I feel like they're always on in the back of my TV, so I feel like a part of their family and they don't know it. But they, I'm a fan.
That might be the connection that a lot of people have with them.
I'm sure.
Brandy's belief on what else?
Well, Snoop would be the next one because there was all these rumors about you and Snoop.
Yeah, I don't...
How did that happen? What's the deal there?
I have no idea, honestly. I really don't know. I'm in shock. Somebody asked me at the upfronts for NBC if I was dating Snoop Dogg, and I literally spit my coffee out of my mouth. I was like, I think he's married, number one. I've been around him maybe twice in my life, and I'm an uber fan. Like, I'm a super fan. It's almost
scary.
Go to
the third picture from the top. Is that them together or is that superposed?
Nah, it's split screen.
No, gotcha. Yeah, we're not. The only time we've ever been around each other is like at a football game party and this party, and there's millions of people around. So, no. No, I mean.
I like you with Snoop, though.
He's married.
All right.
Well, I mean, no, but I'm also like, I sang to him, which you probably shouldn't do. I was like, if corrupt people, yeah.
What do you mean you sang to him?
Well, I rapped one of the songs. Yeah, he was probably like, okay, crazy.
Are you any good?
Listen.
I would love to listen.
Well, I did on Steve Harvey, but they had to bleep it out a lot, so.
We don't have to bleep it out.
Come on.
No, I'm nervous.
Nothing? No, don't be nervous. No, okay. We're very, like, no.
You're in the safe zone.
Yeah, safe zone.
No. Okay, let me do it in a minute.
Okay.
Let's talk about something else.
Brandy's beliefs on, I actually want, all right, go ahead. You keep going fluffy stuff.
It is fluffy, but I get
go
curious.
Go ahead. You're geeking out on the fluffy stuff.
Yeah, we talked earlier about maybe being too young, but he's in the news every single day, so I want to know your beliefs on Justin Bieber.
Oh, I love Justin Bieber.
Really? You're a believer?
I'm a believer.
Brandy's beliefs on the Bieb.
On the Biebs.
I don't like the blonde hair, but I don't know. He's so cute.
You like the music?
I love the music.
Yeah, me too.
I do. I'm a fan.
Have you met him?
I've never met him. Mm-mm.
And you don't like the blonde hair?
I'm not a fan of blondes in general for some reason.
I get that.
He's very cute, though. That little turned up lip. He's like,
with the fucking mustache in this picture.
Yeah,
Jared.
Why did you do that? It's a bit much.
And then, I had to pick the cutest one.
Did you see when he got dreads earlier this year? The dreadlocks.
I think he's having you can tell what he's going through in his life through his hair.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. He lives through his hair. All right, Kev, what's your Brandy's beliefs on?
Well, I know I don't want to bring it down, but I want Brandy's beliefs on Orlando, all that stuff.
I think that unfortunately, I was on a plane and on Sunday morning going to New York, and I saw this. I watched it the whole way, and I wanted to go home. I just, first of all, didn't want to be promoting a silly show about being single when this is happening. That I can't believe you can get a gun so fast, so easily. I can't believe someone was on the watch list and taken off and still able to buy a gun. I'm disgusted by the fact that we keep showing pictures of this guy.
And yeah, we won't mention his name.
No, I'm not going to.
Good, yeah.
These crude selfies. I think it was a hate crime and he hid behind terrorism. I think that we have so much work to do as Americans. We have so much. We have to make sure we have to watch everyone, make sure you can't get a gun. What is anyone going to do with an assault rifle? Think about it. What is it that you think you're going to do?
We had somebody in the chat earlier say that they split a fridge in half with their assault rifle, so nobody ever needs to be able to do that.
No.
That's what they're for, complete demolition.
We have to have much stronger gun control rules. We have to stop sensationalizing these horrible people and giving them the cover of magazines. And I'm so happy that People Magazine, they're not glorifying this person and they put the victims on.
Good.
And I said that in the first place. I was, going through all these interviews at Fox and doing these things. And I said, if I see his picture one more time, I'm going to throw up. And that's really how I felt.
And like the way Rolling Stone put the Boston Bomber, that just made me nuts. We had a Boston Bomber victim sitting where you're sitting who had lost her leg and was running in the Boston Marathon.
Survivor.
And
she prefers,
you're right. Thank you for correcting me. And, you know, she's like, imagine being me and seeing that, him looking like a rock star.
Exactly. And she should have been on the cover.
Right. And him, and him getting love letters.
She is an actual rock star.
Actually, you know, in his second wife, we actually found her Twitter. Was it Twitter or Facebook, Jared? I'm sorry. It was earlier.
It was on Twitter.
We found, have you seen his ex-wife who now they're alleging assisted him?
I can't watch it anymore. I know enough. I change the channel because, you know, I've had the conversation with my kids. It scares me for them.
Raising, what did you say to your kids?
Well, they didn't really, they just heard that somebody had gone in with a gun and, you know, they, not on my time, they have BB guns and things at their dads and that, you know, there's always an adult watching. But we had the conversation. I said, you know, this is the largest massacre in U.S. history. It's a big deal. And that's why, you know, when kids play with swords or they pretend they're shooting people, I don't think they realize what it really is. And so I let them know. We watched a little bit of one part of, like, I DVR'd the news and I let them see how horrific this can be. I think it's important that they know.
And you, so are you following it any further as far as his second wife and what, you know?
I won't right now. I know all I need to know, but if she's involved, take her out. But I can't, it sucks the life out of me. It sucks my energy. And even now I have the chills and it's sad and it shouldn't happen to anyone ever. We shouldn't allow this.
And also in Orlando that week with the Christina Grimmie killing.
Yeah, Brandy's belief on poor Christina Grimmie, and as a celebrity who's kind of vulnerable, right? You were doing a book signing, right?
Yeah, we have to deal first and foremost with mental health issues in this country, and we don't put enough money into it. And a lot of these people that are doing these things are mentally ill. And they don't have an outlet, and we don't have an outlet to even turn them in.
Does this affect you now for showing up to things, you know?
I mean, I'm sure it will. I haven't since then, and I don't want to live in a world where we're afraid to leave our houses.
Right.
And I want to be strong and for my kids and go out and do what I want to do when I want to do it. I just believe we have to get our head around not allowing this to happen ever again.
We got to slow it down. That's my big thing. It's like, I don't think we can eliminate, but we can slow it down.
We can get rid of
assault rifles. We can.
There are things we can do.
There are things we can do. Wow, I could talk to you forever, Brandy. Yeah. You're just amazing. And I thank you so much for coming in. And it's at Brandy Glanville, you guys. We've got Famously Single that airs Tuesdays at 10 o'clock, 9 central on E! And then when's the kitchen show start?
We just wrapped My Kitchen Rules. It's going to be the first time here in the States, and they did not tell me when it starts.
Okay,
yet,
so will you come back when you have to promote that?
It's the number one show in Australia, it'll kick ass here.
Ooh, I tell you, more drama than Housewives. I'm like, wait, I signed up for a cooking show.
About cooking? Really?
Wow. I think anywhere you go, right? It's the lightning rod.
It is.
I love it. But you know what? I'm good. All good. How do we... Okay, so I kind of want the rap, though, before we go out.
All right. Yeah, okay, this song...
Oh, yeah. Let's bring...
I can't believe I almost forgot.
Yeah, let's bring it down, Jared. Here we go.
Okay, If corrupt give a fuck about a bitch, I'd always be broke. I never have no motherfucker and dodo smoke. I get smoked and loopy. Bitch, you can't do me. Do we look me? You're a groupie.
I love it. I love it. I'm going to dance it right here for you, baby.
Yeah.
I'm guzzling.
Nothing to be embarrassed about there. You rocked it.
Big smiles from the booth. You guys, okay. Brandy Glanville, once again, thank you so much. We love you. You guys, it's info@thetomorrowshow. Go to iTunes, rate and comment. TheTomorrowShow.com. We will be back on Monday. And I don't know who our guests are because, as usual, we're all over the board here. But we will be back on Monday. And once again, thank you so much, Brandy.
You're awesome, Brandy.
Make your tomorrow better.
Thanks for tuning in to The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. For guest bookings, questions, or comments, you can email us at info@thetomorrowshow.com. Be sure to follow us on social media and tell a friend about the show. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, your voice of tomorrow, wishing you a better one.
I have the biggest dick in the room.